All right, to both say good morning, a good chodesh, a friendly chanukah to everyone. Today's daf is Memchas, and we are starting on the last line of Memzayin Amud Beis. A lot to do today, and not a lot of time. I know that there are people here who are davening at the 9 o'clock minyan. We will, Amir Hashem, get you to your intended destination. Amir Hashem, hopefully by Baruch Hu, right? I was going to say by Bizborshir. Also, I've been asked to announce, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow morning is our last daf of Sota. The Siyum for Maseches Sota is going to be this coming Matzei Shabbos. Details in Mirtz Hashem to follow. Okay, so we'll say, so let's begin. Last line, Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hever Hadiyas Maisis. Remember again, the Mishnah yesterday, we saw one of the things that Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which remember takes us to Second Temple era. Remember, we'll say, this is Matisyahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It's amazing how these things come. So Mamish, this is Second Beis HaMikdash era. This is actually after the Chashmonaim already retook the Beis HaMikdash, conquered the Yevanim. So one of the things that Yochanan Kohen Gadol did is that he was Mevakel Dias Meiser. So he spoke about the idea that every third year of the Meiser cycle, so you have to go ahead and do what's called Vidui Meiser. And you say, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis, I have literally dispersed or given away all of my tithes. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped this. It says, where my time, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, why is this? Because in that time, they were not giving Meiser in the appropriate way. What does that mean? Because the Torah says that technically speaking, Meiser Yishon is supposed to go to the Levim. And we were giving it to the Kohanim. Now Rashi points out, we did this sugya in Yevamos. We know that again, when Ezra brought the Jews back, this is again after the 70-year exile in Babel. So there was one group that was noticeably missing, and that was Levi, the Levium. Not Shevet Levi, because the Kohanim came back, but the Levium did not return in great numbers. Ezra therefore penalized them for their non-return, and he penalized them by taking away their Meiser Rishon, and by giving it to the Kohanim. Therefore, the Gemara suggests over here that there is no Vidui Meiser. Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped the Vidui Meiser. Why? Because we weren't dispersing tithes in the right ways. Because again, Meiser Rishon was no longer being given to the Levim. Rather, Meiser Rishon was being given to the Kohanim. I have Elodi Ashar Meiser. So that's fine. Why can't you do Vidui Meiser? Why can't you confess that you distributed the other tithe is appropriate? The Amar Reish Lakish called Bayis Shein Misvada Meiser Rishon Shuv in Misvada Al Shar Meiser. Because Reish Lakish says that if you don't distribute Meiser Rishon correctly, and correctly means to the Levim, then you do not do Vidui Meiser any of the other tithes. My time, why not? Because again, when talking about the Vidui Meiser, the confession of the tithes, the first thing that's mentioned is Meiser Rishon. Therefore, again, the Meiser, if you're not giving the Meiser Rishon, then again, there's no confession of tithes. So essentially, it's a technical issue over here. They're giving all the tithes. I mean, according to this Gemara, and the Gemara is going to challenge us in just a moment, according to what's happening over here, is it sounds like everyone is tithing. Everyone is tithing. The issue is, however, they're not giving Meiser Rishon to the Levi, nothing to do with Yochanan Kohen Gadol, bless you. That was already an earlier enactment. But because of that, that generates a technical reality that therefore you can't do Vidui Meiser. So the Gemara says, Nichlal Defru, Shiavu Mefrushi. So that you're telling us, it sounds like what you're saying is that in the times of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, people were actually tithing. V'hatanya, but we learned, Afu Bitalas HaVidui, V'gazral Admai. But yet we learned elsewhere that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was mevatel the vidui. He was mevatel the confession. He negated the confession for the tithes. And he also was gozer on demai. Demai, of course, refers to produce of an ama aretz, someone who's unlearned. Lefi sheshalach b'chol gvul Yisrael, because Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he sent messengers out in all the parts of the land. And he saw that the people were only separating Truma Gidola. So Truma Gidola is Truma, is the portion that goes to the Kohen. So he saw that they were only separating this. When it came to Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, so some people took it, some people didn't take it. Amr Lahem, so Yochanan said to them, Banai, Bawil va'omr Lahem. So first of all, it's such a beautiful idea. So Yochanan, so remember, these people are in violation of the halacha. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol is going to give them a little bit of Musar. But listen to how he prefaces his Musar. Banai, my sons, you want people to be makabal what it is that you have to say. Say it with love. You say it with anger, you say it with a strong hand. The people want me to makabel anything. Banai, my sons, ba'ova amr lachem, kishem shetruma gidola yishba avon misa. You know, we'll say everybody's separating out truma. Why are they all separating out truma? Because again, they were fearful that if you don't separate out truma, then we'll say that carries the death penalty. Right? If Yisrael eats untithed produce, he didn't separate out truma gidola, carries the death penalty. Kach truma smaiser v'tevel yishba avon misa. So Yochanan says, I have to tell you, truma smaiser, which is a section that has to be separated from maaser rishon, and teva, untithed produce in general, osev avon misa. Therefore, amad v'hiskin lohem, halokeach peros mi'am aretz, mafrish mehen maaser rishon u'maaser sheni. So therefore, again, Yochanan Kohen Gadol went ahead and instituted that if you purchase produce from an Am Haaretz, you have to separate from it Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni. Maaser Rishon mafrish mimena Trumas Maaser. From the Maaser Rishon, you have to separate out Trumas Maaser. But remember again, the way it works is Maaser Rishon, technically speaking, goes to the Levi, and the Levi is obligated to separate out the Trumas Maaser from the Maaser Rishon. Technically speaking, on a technical level, a Yisrael could also separate out the Trumas Maaser from the Maaser Rishon, especially given the fact that at this point in time, historically, Maaser Rishon was no longer being given to the Levian. Venos na lekoin. I give it to the coin. Oh, Maaser Sheni, Olava Ochla B'Yerushalayim. And I also, Maaser Sheni, you go ahead and you bring in eating Yerushalayim. Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, Hamotzi Mechavera Lav Haraya. This is actually very interesting. When it comes to Maaser Rishon, Maaser Ani, so the truth is, again, I both say, Maaser Rishon, the Levim have to prove that you did not give it. And Maaser Ani, the paupers, have to prove that you did not give it. In general, you want to extract money from someone, so the burden of proof is upon the extractor. So we'll say, so what's the whole point of this entire discussion? The whole point of this is the Gemara made it sound that in the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, everyone's tithing, and the only reason he abolished the practice of vidui meiser, of making the statement of bi'arti hakodesh min habayis, is because of a technical issue that they could not give meiser rishon to the Levim, because the Levim were penalized already b'mei Ezra. But yet again, I'm supposed to say, based on this price, what does it sound like? No one's tithing. Or I should say, a vast majority of the people are not tithing. To which the Gemara says, "Enachinam, you're right. Tarti tikein. Yochanan Kohen Gadol will make two takonas. Number one, bital vidui de chaverim. Both say he was mevatal vidui meiser for chaverim. What are chaverim? So chaverim are individuals who adhere to the letter of the law. A chaver is someone who lives his life by halacha. So for the chaverim, Yochanan Kohen Gadol said to them, do not do vidui meiser. And the third year, you cannot make the declaration to be Artia Kodesh Min Abayis that you have dispersed your tithes. Why can't you make that declaration? Why? Because again, that goes back to the technicality of Maaser Rishon. Since at this point in time, Maaser Rishon was not being given to the Levium, therefore tithes were not being dispersed in the most appropriate way, therefore you can't do Vidui Maaser. The Gazra al Dmai Shal Ame Aretz, and concurrently he made another takana, which was what? That if you purchase produce from an Ame Aretz, from someone who has not learned it, you must assume that that tithe, that that produce is not tithed, and therefore you must tithe it again. Va'afu bital asam ma'orerim. He also, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, also is mevat of the ma'orerim. My ma'orerim, amarachva b'chol yom v'yom shayu omdim levi'im al duchan va'omrim ura lama tishan Hashem. So what happens every single day when the levi'im, we get up, remember, they stood on the duchen. Rabbos, remember this from our Yuma days? We saw this, the duchen referred to the steps. Remember, there when you went from the Beis Hamikdash, from the Azara, from the courtyard, into the area of the Kodesh, so there were steps going up, there was a platform, and then there were steps going down. That platform, in between the two flights of stairs, that was called the duchen. So the Levim would get up every day, and they would say the pasuk, and tell them, Ura, wake up, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu do you sleep? So Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped this practice. Why? Amar lahem, v'chi yeshin lefnei hamakom, does God sleep? V'halo kavar ne'amar, hinei lo yonum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. But the pasuk says, he will neither sleep nor slumber the guardian of Israel. Ela bizman she Yisrael shriyim etzar, v'ovdei kochavim menachos, benachos eshab. L'kach ne'amar ura lama tishan Hashem. So this is actually very interesting. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol says, look, you want to go ahead and you want to say in times of difficulties or suffering, you want to begin the day by saying this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wake up. Why do you sleep? Why do you slumber when we are suffering and the nations of the world are okay with absolutely no problems? That's fine. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was saying that to begin the day with that pasuk is only appropriate when Klal Yisrael is suffering. But in the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which Rabbah says is immediately post Chanukah, so what happens? It was an incredible time of tranquility and prosperity. Remember, the Hasmonean monarchy was pretty solid for a couple of years. It was only as time went on that, again, they became somewhat corrupt. Not somewhat, exceptionally corrupt. But the idea over here is that therefore Yochanan Kohen Gadol tells them, there's no need to say this pasuk now because we're living therefore in days of tranquility. That's a nokvim. He was mavatul nokvim. My nokvim. What are nokvim? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. Shayim misartin la'egal ben karnov kadesh sheipol dam be'inov. So we'll say, so what happens? This is actually very interesting. People, when they would bring a karban, they used to cut the calf between its horns. Why? Kadesh sheipol dam be'inov. So we'll say they used to cut the calf between its horns, make a cut, which we'll say is not a mum. It does not disqualify an animal for karban. Why did they do it? They wanted the blood to trickle into the eyes of the calf so that the calf would be blinded and it would be easier to knock the calf over in order to be able to sort. As well as you can imagine from our vast Shechita experience, the hardest part of Shechita is wrestling that cow to the ground. Right? So the idea here is if you confuse it and you blind it, it's easier to knock it over. So what happened? Us, you bottle. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol says, "Is mavatlis practice mishum the mechse kimuma, because it has the appearance like you're creating a mum, even though this is not really a mum, but nevertheless it looks like a mum." B'mas nisatana. So we'll say there was another version of this. Sheyucholtin oso b'maklos k'derech sheosin oso me'avodos goravim. The other opinion says, no. You know what they did? They used to beat the animals. They used to beat the animals with a club. They used to literally club the animal to stun it, to be able to push it over. And this, unfortunately, was like the same way that they went ahead and the idolaters also practiced. Amar lahem, ad masay atem ma'achil nevelos l'mizbeach. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol gave them Musar, and he said, how long are you going to offer up nevelos to the mizbeach? Nevelos says an animal dies at shechita. To which the Gemara says, nevelos, how can you call the animal nevela? Ha shachet luhu. They were shechting the animals, you can't call it. Rabbah says, nevela is an animal that dies without shechita. So how can you call it? They weren't killing the animals, so why would you call it nevela? Eletrefus. What Yochanan Kohen Gadol was saying was, you could be rendering the animal a trefa without even knowing it. How so? Shemanikev krum shal moach. It's because Rabbah says, one of the trefas that exists, we'll see this actually in Maseches Chulin, that if you rupture the membrane around the brain of the animal, then lamaisa, again, that renders the animal a trefa. So by hitting the animal, blunt force, blunt trauma could go ahead and injure the membrane, and you could be creating a trefa in the animal. Amad v'hiskin lahem tabos bakarka. So I've also said, this is amazing. Also, you learn so much from Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So lesson number one, we learn that if you need to give rebuke with love. Begin by the term of endearment. Then I've also said, what's the other incredible musar? It's in life, it's always easy to raise problems, right? If you're going to raise a problem, then what? Also advance a solution. Incredible yisod. So what happens? He realizes that there's a challenge for them to shech the animals. So what's his chav? We'll say he instituted rings on the floors of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll say if you see the pictures, the images from the second Beis HaMikdash, so right by the Mizbeach, to the right of the Mizbeach, they have like, it looks like half circles in the ground. Those were shechita rings. What they would do is once they got the animal on the ground, those rings lifted up, you put the head of the animal in the ring, and you put the ring down. It kept the animal in place to allow shechita to occur. So don't club the animal because you're creating ultimately, again, a potential trefa situation, but he gives them the etzah. So I'm sorry. So remember again, we saw in the Mishnah that until his days, you used to hear the hammer banging in Yerushalayim. We explained this yesterday, that I remember technically speaking on Chol HaMoed, one is permitted to go ahead and do what's called Davar HaAvod. So Davar HaAvod means that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed, but if you are going to incur a loss, then you could go ahead and you could do Malacha. So the blacksmiths used to have to do work on Chol HaMoed in order to avoid loss. Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped it. Why did he stop it? Because might as well say smithing, I think that's the right word, smithing? Yeah, thank you. Smithing, right? I think smithing is the verb for, you know, right? Why am I asking any of you, right? You don't know any better than I do. So what happens? So I'm sorry, Matt's not here. So Ben Sion is here. He's our... But
you have my approval.
Baruch Hashem, excellent. I retained him long ago. So you understand the idea over here is that it makes a lot of noise. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol felt that although technically speaking they were within their right to do the malacha, because it disturbed the general atmosphere of halacha, of Chol HaMoed, Therefore, accept the Shabbos is another incredible Moser. What's the incredible Moser? The Shabbos say, again, when we do whatever it is that we have to do in life, it's not just enough that I know that what I'm doing is right. I always have to weigh the impact of my actions on others. In other words, that you could have something that is unequivocally mutter or unequivocally correct, but if the impact of that actions has a net negative effect on someone else, then lemaisa, under certain circumstances, it should not be done. Kol yamav lo haya adam tzarach lishal al demai. All his days, no one ever has to ask about demai. Kidamar, both that's what we spoke about before. Because remember, Yochanan Kohen Gadol Institute, or he legislated that lemaisa, again, you can't go ahead, if you purchase produce from an Am HaAretz, you have to tie that again. Says the Mishnah, Mishabat la Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin ceased to function, Batal Hashir. So what's that? Remember again, we saw this already in Yuma as well, that the Sanhedrin ceased to function in stages. Remember again, first they left Alishkas HaGozis, they were in Yavna for a little while, they were in Sipori for a little while, but once they left Alishkas HaGozis, essentially their influence was much more limited. They could no longer judge capital cases and many other things. So the Gemara Mishnah says over here, Mishabat la Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin ceased to exist, Batal Hashir Beis HaMishtos. Song stopped from the houses of celebration. Shene'emar, Bishir lo Yishtu Yayin. With song, you may no longer drink wine. Mishamesu Nevim HaRishonim, when Rabbo said, when the early prophets died, Batal Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim stopped working. Rabbo said, now the Urim V'Tumim refers to the Choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, with the 12 stones that had, remember, the Choshen had like a fold in back of it. It was mounted on a fabric backdrop, and there was a fabric fold. In that fold was the 72-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which essentially became like the spiritual battery of the Choshen. That's how you were able, the Navi or the Melech, only two people could consult the Choshen, and God would respond through illuminating the letters of the Choshen. When the early prophets died, the Urim V'Tumim stopped working. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shamir worm stopped to exist. We'll discuss what that is. The Nofes Tzufim, and the Nofes Tzufim, we'll discuss in the Gemara what that is. Upaske Anshamanam Yisrael. And men, Rabbo say, Anshamanam means trustworthy individuals, no longer exist within Klal Yisrael. Shene Emar, Hoshia Hashem Ki Gamar Chosid. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Herid, Rabbi Shom Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, and Yom Shem Boklala. Rabbo say, it's an incredibly powerful Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Rabbi Yeshua, from the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there is no day that does not bring with it curses. Below Yorad Hatal Ibracha, the dew is not the same. The Nital Tam HaPeros, and the fruits, right, the taste of the fruits has been taken. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afnital Shuman HaPeros, the fat of the fruits, right, the cream of the fruits have been taken. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Hatara Notla Es Hareach, the lack of Tara since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took away the sweet scent of the fruits. Hamasros Notlu Es Shuman, the lack of maestros has taken away again the fat of the fruits, the cream of the fruits, excuse me, Es Shuman HaDogon, the fatness or the bounty of the grain. The Chachamim Omrim Haznus, and the Chacham say, no, it's not just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it's the absence of the purity of the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash created a vacuum. I've seen Rav Kook speaks about this, that whenever there's a vacuum through the absence of holiness, that vacuum is always filled. Wherever there's a vacuum, there's a lack of Tara, that vacuum is always filled by Tumah. So here the Gemara says, it's not just simply the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, it's that when there was a vacuum created by the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, then ultimately, again, that vacuum was filled with immorality and with sorcery and with all terrible things and took away all the brachos we had. Says the Gemara, so remember again, so the Mishnah began with a very interesting statement, namely, that since the Sanhedrin ceased to exist, we are no longer allowed to sing in the houses of celebration. And the Mishnah quotes the Pasuk, Bishir lo yishtu yayin, with song we shall no longer drink wine. So the Gemara says, how do you know that Pasuk is referring to when the Sanhedrin ceased to exist? Because we'll say the pasuk in its entirety is literally the elders, Zekinim Mishar Shavasu, the elders have stopped sitting at the gate, which the Gemara understands to be a reference ultimately to the Sanhedrin. Bachurim miniginasam. And therefore, again, the Bachrim, the young men, no longer have their song. Suppose this is an incredible yisod. The Mishnah is saying that literally, music has become prohibited since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, the cessation of the Sanhedrin represents the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav, Udna Deshama Zimra, Teaker, Rav says an ear that hears music literally should be uprooted. Amar Rav, Zimra Bebeisa, Churva Beseifa. If there is music in a house, there'll be destruction on its threshold. Shina Emar, Kol Yishorer Becholon, Cherev Basaf, Ki arza ira. So we'll say, so the Pasuk says, quoting over here from the Pasuk from Tzefanya, that literally, again, if you hear the kol yishar b'chalon, if you hear the music playing in the window, chorev basaf, there'll be destruction on the threshold, ki arza ira. So the Gemara says, my ki arza ira, what does that mean? Little people say, arza means cedar wood, ira means a city. Are you trying to tell me that a home that's built with cedar wood is like a city? Rather, what it means to tell us is that even a home that is built as sturdy as one with cedar wood ultimately will be destroyed if music occurs within its home, within its walls. First of all, the Gemara says, you see from here that what? That when destruction begins. Destruction begins from the threshold of the home. Shene emar, cherev basaf. Bibay say, mamehacha. Others say from here, he quotes over here, the Gemara is not quoting from Yishayahu, Ushia yukas shar. Literally, again, desolation, right? Desolation or literally decomposition begins at the gate. Amrab mar baravashi, lididi chazili uminagach kitura. I once saw a shade trying to dismantle a home, and he was literally chomping away at the threshold like an ox. Amar Rav Huna, Zimra, Digandi, Udebakri, Shari. So we'll say, Rav Huna says, but there are certain types of song that are mutter. So we'll say, Digandi, Rashi points out over here, Dinagdi, I'm sorry, Moshe Svinos Bechevel. These are people who pull boats with ropes. So we'll say, Shari, She'inu Lazarzim Olachtam. So remember, the people doing manual labor would sing when doing manual labor, right, to create a rhythm for the work. So that's okay. Similarly, again, the bakri means people who are plowing a field. So if you're plowing a field, again, like Rashi points out, it soothes the oxen to go ahead and plow correctly. However, the gardi, people who sing while weaving, usser, because it was, again, weaving is not manual labor. It doesn't really require exertion, and therefore Rashi points out it's only schok. Rav Huna batal zimra. So we'll say Rav Huna prohibited song in his town, and as a result, kam mea avzi bezuza. Rav Huna says, as a result of the mevatal song in the town, there was a financial windfall. Right, people benefited because they took the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash seriously. So again, the Beis HaMikdash. So ultimately, again, the people benefited, and literally, you were able to buy 100 geese for one zuz, which Rabbi says is an incredible buy. So there was such a proliferation of wealth. And what happens? And you were able to go out and buy 100 sa'a of wheat for one zuz. And yet people had so much that they didn't even feel the need to take advantage of these things. Also, Rav Chista in his own town did not abide by this decree. And in his town, if you tried to buy a goose for one goose for one zuz, you couldn't find it. Amar Rav Yosef, Zimri Gavri Va'ani in Shi Pritzusa. Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, if you have men and women singing together, and the men sing, Va'ani Nashi. Jose, this would be a case where, like, the men are singing, I don't know what you call it, the main part of the song. The men are singing the main part of the song, and the women are singing the chorus. What's the main part?
The lead.
The lead? So the men are singing the lead, and the women are singing the chorus, Pritzusa. We'll say this is Pritzus. We'll say, which again, this is talking about any situation where you have men and women singing together. Again, leaving aside, there are technical issues of Kol Isha, and in those technical issues of Kol Isha, again, groups of women singing sometimes are different, ultimately, again, than individual women singing. But the idea says, the Gemara, a general statement, that if you have a group of men and women singing together, the men singing the lead, the women singing the chorus, ultimately, again, this is Pritzusa. This is an immoral act. Zamri Nashi Ba'ani Gavri. If women are singing the lead and men are singing the chorus, that's even worse. Ke'esh bin ures. It's like a fire in a bundle of flax. So we'll say flax is easily flammable. So Rashi points out the difference over here is that if the women are singing the lead and the men are singing the chorus, the men have to pay even more attention to the female voices, because if you're the chorus, you have to know when to answer. Therefore, you have to pay explicit attention to the lead. Therefore, again, that's even worse. The Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." The Rabbi says, Says the Gemara, bottom line is they're both bad. So the fact that she called one of them Pritzusa and one of them like fire in a flax, what does it matter? Abbas says, it's also an incredible Yisod. To say that, Abbas, if you only have the power to tackle one of these issues, right? Tackle the case where the women are singing the lead and the men the chorus first before you tackle the other. Abbas, another incredible Musar. You can't solve every single problem at once. So therefore, a person has to create, again, a hierarchy. A person has to decide which problems in life, which issues, which challenges are more acute, and begin tackling those first, and then you'll get to the other ones later. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kalashosa ba'arba minei zemer, whoever drinks while listening to the following to the four different types of instruments, maybe chamesh parnos liolam, brings five types of suffering to the world." Shnei Amar, he quotes over here from the pasuk from Yeshayo, "Hoy mashkime boker, sheichar yerdovo, me'acharei b'neshef yayin yad likim." So woe to the blessed, woe to those who wake up in the morning, sheichar yerdovo, they run after beer. The sun goes down. In the evenings, they're drinking wine. V'haya kinor v'nevel tof v'chalio, four different types of instruments. V'yayin mishtem v'espar l'ashem lo ebitu u'maasei yad avlar. So we'll say here the Navi is blasting those who spend their days drinking and playing music. So the Gemara says, "Maksivacharav." What does it say afterwards? "Lochin gola amim mibli das." Therefore, again, I've exiled my people, the people who don't have das. "Shagarmen golas the olam." They cause golas, dispersion for the world. "Ukvoda masayrav pshemevin rav the olam." They bring famine to the world. "Vamono tzacha tsami shagarmen l'tora shetishtachach melamda." They cause Torah to be forgotten by those who learn it. "Vayasach atzav." The Gemara goes on. Quote of the passage from Yeshaya. "Vayishach adam vayashpel ish eveinei gevam." What does that mean? They cause literally shiftless, they cause loneliness to the enemies of God. I'll say enemies of God is always a reference, is a euphemism for Jewish sinners. Ve'ein ish ala kodesh baruch hu, and ish refers to God. See, the Gemara says, Shnei Amar, Hashem ish melchama. Ve'ein ei gevam tishapelna. Literally, the eyes of the arrogant one will be brought low. Shagarman shiflo shal Yisrael. They cause the lowliness of Klal Yisrael. Umaksiv acharav, and what does it say afterwards? Lachin hirchiva sha'ol nafsha. So we'll say in the rest of this pasuk, ultimately, again, as a reference, ultimately to those who descend into the depths of Gehenna. I will say, now this happens to be a very interesting discussion in general about the takana on music after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe we'll find a different time and we have a little bit more time to go into it, but Bekitzer Nimratz, the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Aruch Chaim, Simen Tav Kof Samech Sif Gimel, Paskins that there is a prohibition on music after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but essentially the way the halacha comes out is that it's an issue on music for schok and leitzanos purposes. So meaning again, to engage in music for frivolity purposes, for frivolous purposes, then ultimately that's the prohibition. And especially again, if that frivolity includes alcohol, that's the prohibition ultimately again of the halacha. But certainly again, kaddish type music, right, getting together and singing, even if it involves alcohol. But Lamayim said it's done b'kedusha b'tara. It's done ultimately, again, as we have kirbas Hashem, certainly again singing in shul, zmiros, although there's an interesting discussion Mr. Burr brings down by zmiros, if on Shabbos you're permitted to sing songs at your table other than zmiros. Mr. Burr actually has a whole discussion about this. It's actually very nice. He quotes an opinion that says that one should not sing odicha kiani sani at their Shabbos table. It's quite interesting. I guess he's talking about a situation like we had yesterday, right? Shabbos, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. A person wants to sing Halos. And Mishnah Berurah actually quotes an opinion that says, and the Shabbos table, we should only sing Zmiros. Again, we don't pass like that particular position. But there is such a prohibition on the books, Tav Kuf Samech Siv Gimel, that frivolous music, and it's certainly, again, frivolous music means music that is not b'kedusha u'betara, there are certainly halachic implications for it in the post-Churban world. So also, again, I'm just giving you that. We're not doing it justice. I see some people are squirming a little bit. If you have concert tickets to someone other than Mordechai Ben David, we have an amnesty program, right? We have a buyback. You turn in your tickets, we give you the cut and face value. I'm sorry?
Some groups sing satire and it's all for fun.
Well, you should just know, by the way, just not getting into anything. But you know, it's funny because you see this machlokas, because even within the world of Jewish music, sometimes there is an incredible, like guys like Lippo Schmelzer and others get a lot of flack from a lot of people because they feel that his music ultimately falls under the, you know, late sonnes umbrella as well. I'm not weighing in on that. But I think Klal Yisrael has bigger problems than Lippo Schmelzer. But whatever. I'm just pointing out, just so you know, it is a discussion. It is a discussion. Again, I will find the time, maybe at the Siyum. Maybe we could incorporate a shir, a little short shir at the Siyum.
Yeah.
You'll talk to the executive committee? So says the Gemara, let's go a little bit weiter. We have a few minutes left. I promised you I'm going to get you to 9 o'clock. Minyan. Right, hopefully they're starting late, you know? So says the Gemara, when the early prophets passed, so remember the Mishnah said that the Urim, the Tumim stopped working. Man Nevi'im Rishon, where are the Nevi'im Rishon? Am Rav Huna, Ze David Ushmuel Ushlomo. This refers to David, Shmuel, and Shlomo. These are the early prophets. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Meir, David, Zimnon, Salak, Zimnon, Salak, Rav Nachman said, "Days David HaMelech." Sometimes the Urim V'Tumim worked, sometimes it didn't work. Shari Sha'al Tzadok V'Alsalo. Tzadok HaKohen asked the Urim V'Tumim and it worked. Sha'al Avyasar V'lo Alsalo. And Avyasar HaKohen asked and it did not work. Shene'emar V'ayal Avyasar Masiv Rabar Shmuel V'ayhi L'drosh Aleihem. Supposed to say, the Navi seems to indicate that it worked all days of Zechariah, which is even later. So the Gemara says, my love, it's not saying that Zechariah consulted the Urim V'Tumim. Lo, B'Nevi'im. No, he didn't consult the Urim V'Tumim, rather he consulted all the prophets. Tashma, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash Rishon, when the first temple was destroyed, Batlu Ari Migrash. So we'll say, Ari Migrash refers, Rashi points out over here, Ari Migrash is Ari Levim Shet Inan Hakas of Migrashos. This refers to the Levitic cities. So the Levitic cities ceased to exist after the destruction of the first place of the Shabbosai. Makes sense in accordance with what we said before, because remember, the Levim did not come back from Bavel with Ezra. So there was no need for the Levitic cities. And again, they could have said, well, maybe preserve it for them in case they come back. They didn't preserve it at all. So the Gemara says, Upasko Urim V'Tumim. And the Urim V'Tumim stopped working. Upasak Melech mi beis David, and there was no longer a Davidic king. Vimloch shecha Adam lomar bayomer hatir shasalohem. Look, so we'll say if somebody will whisper to you, it's not true. The Urim V'Tumim worked. How do we know that? Vayomer hatir shasalohem. Because then so we'll say hatir shasa seta. And we'll say, remember who's hatir shasa? We actually learned this earlier that hatir shasa is another name for Ezra. Sha'amar lahem lo yochlu mikdash hakadoshim ad yomru kohen l'urim v'tumim. So we'll say, because remember, Hatir Shasa made reference to the fact to the people. Now remember, this is already after the destruction of the first base HaMikdash, and he said to him, you cannot go ahead and eat from the Kodesh HaKadosh. We'll say this was an issue that Ezra told the people, that we'll say when they came back from Bava, there was an issue with Yichus. And the issue with Yichus was that many of the Kohanim themselves had married women that they were had married women who they were not permitted to marry, which means that their offspring were not true Kohanim. Satir Shas essentially said to the people, there's going to have to be a vetting process when you get back to make sure that your Kohuna is still intact. And he made it sound like the Urim V'Tumim will help in this process. So you see that the Urim V'Tumim are in existence even during the days of Ezra. No. He says, "Ke adam sheomer lechaveiro, ad sheyich yumesim ve'yava Mashiach ben David." What Hatir Shasa was saying is, "Halavai will have the Urim V'Tumim, just like people say, Halavai Mashiach will come and there'll be tchias amesim." Ela amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, "Man Levim Harishonim, who were these Levim Rishonim? La'afuki mechagai Zechari u'Malachi dachronim minu." Essentially, it's everyone before Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi who were considered to be latter prophets. Tan Rabbanon, Nisha Mesu Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nistaku Rach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael. When Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi died, there was no longer Rach HaKodesh, there was no longer Nevuah. Va'af Apikein Hayu Mishtamshin Baskol. But Abba said, interestingly enough, even when Nevuah stopped, there was still a Baskol, there was still a divine voice that came.
Why did you use the word Rishonim then?
I'm sorry?
Why did you use the Lashon Rishonim if that was after the Achron, the Nevi'im Achronim?
No, it was before the Nevi'im Achronim. Anyone before the Nevi'im Rishonim includes everyone before Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
Uh-huh. three.
Correct. Those were the last. We know those are the last Nevi'im. Last Nevi'im. So anyone before them is because they are Nevi'im Achronim. Therefore, everyone before them is Nevi'im Rishonim. So we'll say, even once Nevuah stopped, however, the people still paid attention to a baskol. What happened? Shepam achas hayu misu'un. A baskol means that sometimes God would dispatch certain messages to the people through a heavenly voice. So shepam achas hayu misu'un ba'aliyas. Beis Guria, Biericha, one time the rabbis were sitting in the attic in Beis Guria, Nasna Aleim Baskol, and a Baskol came and said, Min HaShemayim, V'amra Yeshpachem Adam Echad, Sherai Shetishra Shechinah. Can you imagine this? The rabbis are sitting together, and a Baskol comes out and says, there is a man among you who is so righteous that he is fit for prophecy. Elo, She'in Doro Ra'i Lekach. Well, says an amazing yisod. Sometimes a person could be ra'i for nevuah, but if his generation is not the ra'i, then he will not become the navi. So obviously the question was who they were referring to. Everybody turned their gaze towards Hillel HaZaken. Ukishamesa, when he died, his piduhu he chasid he anav tamido shal Ezra. So both said they realized that the Baskol was talking about Hillel HaZaken, and then when he died, they eulogized him by saying, oh, he was so pious, he was so humble, a student of Ezra. V'shuv pamacheres hayu misum ba'aliyah b'yavna. Another time the rabbis were learning in an attic in Yavna, nasna ban Baskol min ha'shamayim v'amr lohen, yesh pachem adam echad sherei shetishna shechina alav. There is a man among you who is fit to have prophecy, ela shein doro zakoyin l'kach, but the generation is not fit. So what happened? Nasnu enem b'shmuel ha'katan. They went out and they turned their gaze to Shmuel HaKatan. Kishemes, and when he died, his piduhu hey anav hey chasid tamido shel Hillel. He's so humble. He's so righteous, so pious. A Talmud of Hillel. Va'av hu amar b'shas misaso. And the Bible says Shmuel HaKatan at the time of his death prophesied and he said Shimon v'Yishmael l'charva. Shimon, Rabbi Yisrael refers to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Yishmael is Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, will be killed. He was referring to these were two of the Asara Haruge Malchus, two of the 10 martyrs. V'chavruhi liktala, and their friends are going to be killed as well. A reference to the other Asara Haruge Malchus. U'sha'ar ama leviza va'akin sigoin. And the rest of the people will be plundered and will have terrible tragedies. Asidin lemeisei al amo. And terrible tragedies again will come upon the people. Va'af al Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava bikshu lomar hechasid he'anav. And when Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was killed, they also wanted to eulogize him by saying, he is so pious, he's so humble. Ela shenitrefa sha'a. But the moment literally was stolen from them. Why? She'in maspidin al haruge malchus. Because Rabbi said, you cannot eulogize those killed by the king. Rabbi said, this is an incredible thing. That we don't eulogize those killed by the king. Why not? Because Rabbi says, if somebody's executed by the Malchus and people start eulogizing him that he was so great, what's going to happen? It's going to irk the monarchy. And therefore, Rabbi says, it's an incredible yisod. It just shows you the diaspora reality of the Jewish people, that even somebody great when they're executed, who died again through no good reason, only the revenge of Umas Olam, we have to be careful with how it's perceived. The Bible says, just go a little bit weiter, then we'll stop. Tanur Rabbanon. So the Gemara says, weiter. Mishchar Beis HaMikdash Batal HaShamir. So Moshe, remember again, the Mishnah said, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shamir stopped working. So Tanur Rabbanon, Shamir, Shebo, Banash Shalom is Beis HaMikdash. The Bible says, the Shamir, as we know, refers to a specific type of worm that was used by Shlomo HaMelech to go ahead and build the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, Vabayis Bihi Bonoso, Evan Shalema, Masa Nimna. So we'll say literally, the home when it was constructed from whole stones. To which the Gemara says, Hadvarim Kich Savan Divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the words are to be understood literally. Rabbi say that the stones were whole. In other words, that what? That they weren't chiseled. They weren't chiseled with any kind of metal instruments. Instead, they were simply cut by the Shamir. Amr Rabbi Nechemya, Dechiev Shalom, can you say that the stones were whole cut by the Shamir? Valok Var Ne'amar, but the Pasuk says, Kol Eila Avanim Yikaros, Migororos Bimigre. But yet the Pasuk explicitly says that they were precious stones. Megoros b'migra literally means they were filed smooth with a file. which indicates to us what? That the stones were cut. So the Gemara says, Im ki matam lor lo nishra b'ayis even also. So what does it mean when it says that the chiseling of stones was not heard within the home? Shahaya mitakein maskin mi bachutz umachnis mi bifnim. It means that the stones were chiseled on the outside, but were brought in already chiseled. In other words, no chiseling took place inside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi, so Rabbi says, near to Rabbi Huda ba'avnei Mikdash. Rabbi Huda's words that the Shamir was used sounds correct when it comes to the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. V'div Rabbi Nechemya ba'avnei Beiso. And Rabbi Nechemya's words, namely that the stones were chiseled, refers to which stones? The stones that Shlomo used to build his palace. I have Rabbi Nechemya Shamir Lamayasa. So we'll say fundamental machlokes. So remember, according to Rabbi Huda, the Shamir was used to go ahead and construct the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Nechemya, so ultimately, no, even the Beis HaMikdash was not made by the Shamir. The Beis HaMikdash was made by chiseling of stones. Just what? The chiseling was not done in the structure, it was done outside of the structure. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Nechemya, then why did you need a Shamir at all? Lemay Asa, mi bayli l'chidisan. You need it for the following. Avanim halalu, en kosin osan bidio. Both say they need it for the following stones. The stones on the choshen and on the ephod. It was, remember again, the Kohen Gadol had 12 stones on the breastplate and 2 stones on the ephod, on the shoulder straps of the apron that he wore. So that's what the Shamir was necessary for. He says, because you can't write, remember, on the stones were engraved the names of the Shvatim. You can't write those names in ink. Mishum Shene'emar, Pituchei Chosam. Rabbi said they're engraved. Ve'ein misartin eleim bi'izemel. And also you can't chisel it out. Why? Mishum Shene'emar, Bemilo Osam. Rabbi said, why can't you chisel it? Because when you chisel stone, so what happens? You lose some of the shavings, right? Shavings. Thank you. The shavings, chiseling sounds so much better than no, right? The shavings are lost. And Abba said, the halacha by the stones is bemula osam. You must retain the entire stone. So Abba says, you hear this? On one hand, the names have to be engraved, but you have to be able to retain the entire stone. So how does it happen? Ella, kol save aleim bidio. You go out and you write on it with ink. Umar elohen shamir, and you put the shamir on the different parts. Umibachutz vehein nikvaos mele. And Abba said, what ends up happening is the shamir creates depressions without losing any of the shavings. Kiteinazu shenefkasi on sechama. Just like Abba said, you see this sometimes in Eretz Yisrael. Great, so in the summer, so you can see overly ripened dates. What happens to overly ripened dates? They like explode. So they open up, but the whole date is there. It just explodes. Ve'ina chasir kum, nothing's missing. Ukabikazu shenikvas me'egsham. Just like again, Abba says, sometimes the floor of the valley opens up during the rainy season. The earth is not deficient. The whole earth is there. It's just changed shape. Ve'ina chasir kum. And Abba says, therefore again, so too, according to Rabbi Nechemya, that's what the Shamir was used for. The Shamir ultimately, because remember, Machlokes Rabbi Huda says, the Shamir was used for the Beis HaMikdash to cut the stones because you can't cut the stones with iron. Rabbi Nechemya says, not true. You just can't chisel the stones of the Beis HaMikdash in the structure itself, but you could absolutely go ahead and chisel it outside the structure. Great Rabbi Nechemya, what did they use the Shamir for? They used the Shamir ultimately again to create, to engrave the names of the Shvatim on the stones of the Choshen and also on the stones of the Ephor. Rabbi, I want to point out, according to Rabbi Huda, they also used the Shamir for that purpose. Right? Rabbi Huda doesn't disagree with that fact. Yes, I agree. We also use the Shamir for the Choshen and for the stones of the Ephod, but we also used it for the stones of the basement. Rabbi, I will stop over here for today. Say, I'm going to ask just an incredible, incredible favor. Incredible favor. Emir Tashem, tomorrow morning, so we are going to start at 5:35. It's the last daf, and again, Mamish, I don't want to have to rush too much. Okay, so we'll take a vote. Okay, good, excellent. All right, we're all. What? Now I don't want to. I know people have to go to Davin now, so I don't want to hold up anyone. I don't. All right, it's 5:35. It is. All right, it's no homework. No, we're gonna pick up. We're gonna pick up right over here, Mir Hashem, tomorrow.